Asian Station.
What is your ideal community? What does your ideal community look like?
How will we create a future that's not just an improvement, but one that is more deeply connected and fulfilling? The answer to that question for me is community.
It's My Town, Your Town, an hour about all the good stuff happening in our community. Good people doing good things, all moving our town forward in a positive way. And now here's the host of My Town, Your Town, Jim Straw.
Of the radio program titled My Town, Your Town. And as you heard from the opening, this is an opportunity for us to talk to good people representing good organizations, representing good companies, representing good grassroots movement to make your town a better town to live in, to work in, to play in. And on today's program, we got a couple of different guests, and then we're going to catch up toward the end with all the fun things that are going on for this weekend that you can get involved in. But we are glad you're with us. Sit back and relax for the next hour. Nothing but positivity, nothing but good things coming your way. We're gonna lead the show off with Stephen Thomas. And Stephen's got a nice story. He's a brilliant singer. He's from the market, from the Kanawha Valley. And he's got a really neat story. We're going to talk with him for about 20 minutes or so. And then we're going to catch up with Molly. Molly is the co-producer of a feature-length documentary about West Virginia and its story with coal. And the documentary is titled King Coal. So I can't wait to talk with Molly. Also in our studio is a new friend of mine. She's documenting our show right now. Emily Dodrell's here. Emily, good morning. How are you? You doing good? Yeah. She's doing well from afar. She's in the studio as well. And she's going to be working with Jim Strawn and company. She's actually going to be our creator pretty soon. And I'll let you know. I'll make the announcement right here probably next Friday. But she's going to be our administrator for our Facebook page, My Town, Your Town. So I just made that public. So now we have to do it. Stephen Thomas. Hey, brother, good morning.
What's going on, man?
You're the man. You're looking good. You're all smiles. Man,
got to.
I know.
You
bring that good vibe. That's what the show's about. Good stuff, positive vibes, right?
Yes, sir, as always, as it should be.
Talk to me a little bit about your journey, Stephen. Talk to the audience. Who are you? What makes you, man? Who you is? And what's going on, man?
Well, my name is Stephen Thomas from Charleston, West Virginia. You know, got to represent.
You got a homeboy.
Homeboy, you know. And, man, I do a lot. I travel like crazy.
You're all over the United States. You were just in Los Angeles 3 weeks ago.
Man, I'm everywhere.
Before we get to that, how do you describe yourself? Who are you? What do you describe yourself as? You sing?
Yes.
A little bit. What else do you do?
So, sing. Yep. I'm a musician, songwriter, composer, author. But also, I have a company that does social media marketing, branding, business development, pretty much business consulting, anything that a company would need, we're pretty much your one-stop shop.
Is that the Creative Hearts?
Yes, sir.
Enterprises?
Yes, sir. That is it.
So, yeah, you're the CEO of that. You're the owner of that. You're a singer. Like you said, you're a songwriter.
Yes.
You got. I saw something, and I know something, but I'm going to let you tell the story about Grammys. Grammys is a big deal in the music world, I understand.
Yes.
Excuse me, right?
Yes.
Grammys are pretty big?
Yes, yes. I mean, just to have an opportunity to be a part of it, or to even be involved with it, is definitely an honor. So this year, from last year over into this year, I am being considered for 2 Grammys this year.
Congratulations,
this
buddy.
Makes my 3rd year in a row being considered for a Grammy. So it's pretty cool. We found out I just recently had a record hit number 2 in the iTunes charts with Blake Shelton.
Go on. Look at you.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. You know, we went from the BET Awards to the Grammys. Shout out to DJ Unk. I just found out he's getting ready to be performing on the BET Awards this year. And we just released a record last year for this year, a summertime vibe called Outstanding. So that's a blessing. So we've been doing quite a bit, man. We literally just got the BET Awards, just did that, just did MTV, Vibe Magazine. I just came out in Hype magazine a few months ago. I was just with Kevin Gates. Okay. Just with, let's see, Kevin Gates, Fetty Wap, Young Blue, Mooski, Ja Rule, Ashanti, and Plies. A lot of these artists are your R&B artists. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of your R&B, your hip-hop. I just literally finished doing the remix for Carrie Underwood, Something in the Water, and Denim and Rhinestone. So we got quite a few things
going on. So I just mentioned you were just back from Los Angeles. When I say L.A. around here, that's usually the Logan area, but this is actually Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
You were out in California.
Uh-huh.
And you were out there. I saw pictures. I'm like, I just saw him the night before, and now you're in Los Angeles. What happened in L.A. 2 or 3 weeks ago? I forget how far back it was.
So, I mean, when we go to L.A., usually I'm just in and out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, a lot of times it's just either meetings or,
work-related in the industry.
Yeah. So, you know, we do a lot of things like that. What I had to do was we just try to get stuff done, man. It's people behind the scenes that you got to meet. Mm-hmm. It's people behind the scenes in the industry that you got to have these meetings with. You know, you're also working, talking with different artists all around the United States.
Is, you know, people think of the music industry and you try to make a big name, you try to make a living, you follow your heart, that's your passion, you love the music industry. Is it true kind of what people say about that industry? I mean, it's tough. It can chew you up. Some people don't make it. You're out there, you're talking to people. Is the perception a reality when it comes to the music industry, or is it overblown, or is it real and you got to hustle? I know you got to hustle to make it in anyway.
Right.
So you're out there kind of networking, and no pun intended, but you're grinding, right?
Right, right, right. So to be honest, yes. a lot of people really think that it is just this, it's one
it's
way.
It's glamorous.
Right. It is. It's very glamorous. And I'm very, very glamorous. But what people don't understand is the vicious cycle behind it. It can be evil. It can be demonic. I'm a very spiritual man. Yes, I come. You know, I come from a Christian background. So, you know, crossing over into all genres now, because I'm even heading over to rock.
Yeah.
So, you know, rock, country, pop, hip hop, R&B. It doesn't matter the style of music that you do, but the music industry is still the same. The same people that run the gospel are the same people that run the secular. Okay. So it is. It's very vicious. At the end of the day, this game is about numbers. People want to know, are there things that happen behind the scenes that I'm not going to say on the airwaves?
Okay.
Because I know what not to talk about.
Okay.
I can say that there are what you think is a speculation about how the music industry is behind the scenes. It's reality in real life. So your speculation in your eyes is reality in ours, because we see it. You either see it, you talk to somebody that's dealt with it, you talk to somebody that has done it. I can say, because it is publicly known, the whole ritual thing and things like that, that stuff is real. It's definitely something real, man. It's reality. So understand that just because you see the glamour doesn't mean that it's all just that.
And if you're just tuning in, we welcome you in to My Town, Your Town. We're talking with our guest right now, Stephen Thomas. Stephen is a singer. He is a songwriter. He is a producer. He is, you just heard, he's all things, all genres now. Grew up in the Charleston area. Talk a little bit about your childhood, Stephen, and into your teenage years. And when did you realize, dude, I think I like this music industry. When did you get that bug?
I mean, dude, I started, so I'm actually, a lot of people don't know this about me.
Well, tell us.
So let's get exclusive on Mr. Jim,
my town. This is
my town. Your
town. This is breaking news, Stephen.
Breaking news.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Go ahead, brother.
A lot of people don't know that I'm my mother's miracle baby.
Wow.
So when I was in the womb, they said I would not move unless she either drank a Mountain Dew or they played music.
Wow.
And sometimes they had to do both. So anytime that they would do her ultrasound, she had to do one or the other, or she had to do both. Most of the time, she had to play music. So if they played music and
so
then they gave her that
baby.
I'm a
Dew
baby. I am a Dew baby. I wonder why I grew up drinking and loving Mountain Dew like crazy.
And she had to play music to get you to stir.
Yes. So classic. That was the only
good
way
story.
that they could get me to move.
So literally before you were born, you loved music. Literally
I did. So God gave me the gift. It was already there. It was predestined. So, you know, you go from there to growing up as a baby, then of course by 2 years old I was playing drums. By 4 years old I was playing piano. So you go from that 2 years old, 4 years old to, you know, now, I mean, music has just always been in my DNA. And they used to tell me all the time when I was a baby, I'd cry. But if I was crying, all they had to do was just turn a music video on or turn some music on, I'd shut up.
I love it.
So it's pretty cool, man. So, and then growing up in the Charleston area, you know, childhood wise, I sacrificed a lot. I went through so many different things, so many different challenges, obstacles in life, from just, as you could say, you know, I guess you could say being bullied sometime when I was a kid, or yeah, being talked about because I wanted to be different.
Kids are mean sometimes.
Yeah. They're so mean, you know, but I wanted to be different. It was all about being different. And not only that, but when I say sacrifice, I mean, I sacrificed friends. I sacrificed, you know, relationships. I had to sacrifice a lot of stuff just to get to this point now of which where I am.
Were you in all music early? Like, I'm all in music, or did you dabble with sports, or did you dabble with, you know, the high school band, or did you dabble with a chess club or any other extracurricular, or is it music all in all the time, straightforward, 100%?
Actually, I did play ball. Okay. So I played sports. I played football, basketball, track, baseball. Let's see, baseball was best third baseman in the league. Football, I was running 80-yard touchdowns, and I played linebacker,
so
I played quarterback,
too.
I played, yeah.
You love the
sports,
so
I played a little bit of everything. Okay. But then, of course, as I got older, I got into high school, and when I got into high school, I tore my ACL. So once I tore my ACL and my meniscus, then I was just like, okay, so do I keep getting beat up and then still doing music, or, you know, how does this work? So just went straight to music.
How old were you then?
Ah, man, I was like 15,
yeah,
yep, 15,
okay.
16 years old.
I was a guess.
Yeah, no, you was right on it, yeah, too. Okay. That was good. So I'm like 15, 16 years old, literally tore my ACL, got my surgery done, started moving on, and it's like, okay, what do I do? Mm-hmm. So stayed doing music, took music more seriously, and that was like right at 15 is when I took music even more on a professional level. So then shout out to Dana LaFon, that's where I got my first start at. Okay. And once I got with him, I just started, I mean, I would stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning messaging people back when MySpace was big time.
All right.
So I was MySpacing it up, messaging people, studio. Yeah, I was MySpacing it up, man, like,
I'm
for
laughing
real.
Because that's old school.
Yeah, studio. Hey, man, can I get in? I'm trying to go do this, I'm trying to do that.
So you were hustling. You were hustling.
Yeah, like, so I was staying up till like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm going to school, getting up by 5:30. So I'm going by 5:30, I'm getting up, going to school, trying to send a message out, then connecting with different people all over MySpace. Finally connect with Dana. Then we started doing music. Came out with my first album by 17 years old. I came out with my first album. It was in 2010 called Life of the Abundance. So like I said, I started out in Christian music. And now here I am.
Your first album came out 13 years ago.
Yeah, I just turned 30.
It was a gospel Christian kind of an album. Mm-hmm. You just turned 30.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you earlier, and it's appropriate to ask, you know, how old you are, but I thought you were like 25, 26. You just hit the 30.
Just hit the 30, man.
Now, officially, that's the age where you're not young anymore, by the way.
Right.
That's the official age. You're not young anymore. You're not a teenager. You're not in your 20s. But I feel like you've been working since you were 9 in this industry.
Basically.
You're hustling, you're grinding, you're working, mm-hmm. you're networking, you're in Los Angeles, you're all over the nation. You got albums out, you're singing, you're writing songs. And, you know, all these different genres. I'm not a music guy, Stephen. Can you tell? I mean, I don't even know what to ask you.
Man.
I'm not a music guy. I like Live on Levy, of course. Moses Auto Group, Live on Levy. I get to host those every Friday night. Everyone knows Jim's the host. I've been doing that for 17 years.
I hope to do that
so
one day.
I'm around. Yeah, we got to get you on the Trombone Bomb stage. So I'm around music. I introduce the acts. I'm like an Ed Sullivan, and here they are. And everybody, put your hands together for the Beatles. You know, I can
right.
introduce
You're good
bands.
At it. You're
can,
good
I'm
at
Ryan
it.
Ryan Seacrest
You know
guy.
What I'm saying?
But I don't know music. I don't know the industry. I don't know the Grammys. I don't know who nominated. I don't know people. You're naming people. I don't know who they are. I like music. I can dance. I'm an old 70s disco guy.
Got it.
So I can, you know, skate,
I mean,
dance.
You was, yeah, I seen
I like
you at the game.
I have moves.
I've got
rhythm. Hey, speaking of the games, we're going to come back to the music thing. Talking with Stephen Thomas, our guest here on My Town, Your Town. I don't care how you're listening this morning, whether you're listening on 1410 AM or 102.3 FM, or maybe you're listening to the website, wscwam.com. We also have a News Talk app. There's a News Talk app that is out there. And maybe you're listening to this, and it's been archived on the website, and now you're listening. So however you're listening, we appreciate you listening in on My Town, Your Town, a show about good stuff, good people doing good things. Stephen Thomas is our guest. We've really been spending more time together in the last 2 or 3 months because you're always around the West Virginia Grind, who just concluded their inaugural season with a playoff run. And, you know, that's our professional basketball team in the basketball league. You're good friends with the general manager, as am I, Stephanie Casey. Stephanie did a great job managing this. The assistant general manager, Chris Janey, we had him on My Town, Your Town, episode number one. He was on the first show, Stephen.
Oh, man.
So we met. That's amazing. We've been hanging out at the Grind basketball game.
That's amazing.
Talk about the basketball season. That was fun, right?
Man, I had a lot of fun. It was great. I enjoyed helping out. Definitely shout out to the GM, Stephanie Casey. She's done a wonderful
job.
I mean, just professionalism, where the team played. I mean, everything just looked beautiful. It was well put together in such a short amount of time.
Right.
And that was the most amazing part of this season, was just in a short amount of time, everything was put together so precisely, so beautifully. I mean, it was like the word mellifluous. It was pleasing in such a sweet sound.
If you're not familiar with what Stephen and I are even talking about, West Virginia had an opportunity to be the final team in this league called the Basketball League,
TBL.
And it is a professional basketball league with about 50 teams. Really, I love the mission of this league. The mission of this league is to put together some guys. Some of them are young. Some of them are in the twilight of their careers. Some of them have played pro ball overseas. But what this mission of this league does is it streams every game. So folks in China and Brazil and Europe and Denmark and wherever they are in the world, people can watch them and go, hey, that's a pretty good player. I think I want to have them come over and play on my team.
Yeah, just like if you know Kevin Jones and, you know, some, well, we call him KJ, but Kevin Jones from West Virginia University, Jay Flo, John Flowers, you know, a lot of these guys that were D1 and have been D1, a lot of them are overseas playing ball. Just like we can watch them overseas, they can watch us out of Japan or Russia or anywhere in the country, they can watch us play. So I do love the fact that the West Virginia Grind is nationwide. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we are working on getting them just even more broader here in the state of West Virginia. We're working on their, you know, branding, the marketing, you know, just getting people to keep knowing who the West Virginia Grind is, because we feel like the more they know about them, we're going to keep filling those seats.
The season was condensed. It's about 24 games. We had 12 home games. We played our home games on the campus of West Virginia State University in the convocation, the Walker Convocation Center.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting, very affordable to come in. We had dancers. We had Uncle Woody playing music.
Yeah.
It was a different vibe for a basketball game. It's unbelievable basketball.
Yes.
There's a 24-second shot clock, so it's up and down the court. Some of the games were 151 to 147.
Yes.
Some of the games were 138 to 132. I mean, they were high-scoring, action-packed, fun. And we had a good team led by our head coach, Wayne Casey, who's an icon, legendary, played at West Virginia State University, grew up on the west side, the best side of Charleston, went to Stonewall High School. So he led the team to the playoffs in their first year, and they had a heck of a nice run. So, Stephen, you around it, you're right. We look forward to the second season. I guess the second season will tip off next February-ish. I don't know.
It's a possibility. Yeah. Usually they say March. The season starts about March.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely whoever's listening, listen, go. Matter of fact, go follow the West Virginia Grind on Facebook.
Yeah.
West Virginia Grind Basketball at WV Grind on Instagram. Again, West Virginia Grind Basketball on Facebook at WV Grind on Instagram. Follow us. We'll let you know what's going on. We're going to keep you updated. You can get the schedule. We got t-shirts. They got, man, hoodies and hats.
And I love the color.
All kind of crazy
it's
stuff.
It's orange and blue.
And we're orange and blue.
Great color.
I love it.
And earlier when I said,
representing.
When I said you're grinding in the music industry, and I said no pun intended, that's what I meant. People are like, why do you say no pun intended? Because you work closely with the West Virginia Grind.
Yes.
A great name for a West Virginia pro team.
Yes.
West Virginians, and you're doing it right now in your music industry.
Yes.
I do it in my marketing industry.
Yes, sir.
We grind.
We grind. Work. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not grinding, you're not hustling, you're not getting out there and getting it in, you're not doing anything. Because at the end of the day, you gotta grind, you gotta hustle. Even when you're not making money, it's like Deion Sanders said, even though the light's not on you, but keep making plays. So whoever's listening, even though the light's not on you, keep making plays. Even when people aren't looking at you, are overlooking you, aren't paying attention to you, keep making plays. It does not matter where you are, it does not matter who you are, just keep making plays, because sooner or later, the play that you're gonna make is gonna be a Hail Mary, that's gonna be the touchdown, and it's going to be the shot clock, the buzzer beater. It's going to be whatever it is. It has to be that's going to put you where you need to be.
Everyone knows that the harder you work, the luckier you get. And Stephen just summarized that right there. We got a few minutes left, Stephen. I'm going to kind of come back to your music career.
Yes, sir.
You just hit the 3-0. You said it, I didn't. But now you're 30 years old. Where does Stephen Thomas? Where does your career? Where does it look like in 5 to 10 years from now? What does your 30s look like? When it comes to owning, writing songs, singing songs, performing, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years, brother?
Man, that's a big question.
I had to ask it.
I see it.
You gotta have vision.
You know what? One of the biggest things for me is music, yes, performing, touring, heavy, the Chris Browns, the Justin Timberlakes, the Beyonce, the show. The level of production, yes, that level, of course, right? But at the same time, I'm also a businessman. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest things for me is taking that money and investing it into real estate, taking that money, investing into owning restaurants, taking that money and investing it into Airbnbs. So, you know, my biggest thing is to make my money work for me so I can go and take a year off from touring whenever I feel like it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Because what people don't understand is that people don't look at the behind the scenes on different artists. So we'll use Chris Brown for an example. Chris Brown owns 14 Burger King franchises.
How about that?
People don't know that. Rick Ross owns Rallies, Checkers. People don't know that.
My boy Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq.
Papa John's guy.
Yeah, Shaq. Papa John's. Yeah, Magic Johnson, AMC Theaters. All of these big artists, including what a lot of people don't know about Jay-Z, is that Jay-Z took on becoming the marketing director, co-branding and co-marketing director for Budweiser a few years ago. Wow. So people don't know that these artists are also working outside of the music industry.
Business industry.
Right.
Yeah, I love that.
So I love the fact that I paid attention to that, and that is my whole goal. My whole goal is to make my money work for me. I mean, to be honest, you know, I got a lady I'm talking to, but at the same time, you know, no kids, and I've been pretty much near single just all my life. You know, people don't understand this life. This life is different. Mm-hmm. You know, this life is definitely not for the faint of heart. I mean, shoot, me and Woody talk about it all the time.
It's a little nomadic.
It's a lot.
You're working at 2 a.m. You're working at 11 p.m. You're on live now at 10:30 in the morning on a Friday.
Right.
I mean, you got to stay on. You got to get your rest. Got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And
a lot of times you don't have somebody taking care of you unless there's money involved.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when you really speak of this game, you know, you got management and PR and different things like that. But when you're paying these people, as long as you're dishing out the money to them, that's all they care about. Yeah, at the end of the day,
no
people
good.
Love you for what you do and not you for you. And that is one of the hardest things in this game that you have to understand and realize is the love that you think is genuine is really fake.
I just want you to know I had you on the show. No strings attached. You're not paying me to be on here. I'm not paying you to be on here. This is a show that is all about admiration.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stage and a platform for you to tell your story. You heard earlier the top of the show is about good people. I consider
yes.
you a good person.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're doing good work, and that's what this show's all about. I'm going to let you conclude with, you know, how people can stay in touch with you, how they can follow you. You know, what are some of your handles? What's the best way to stay in touch with your career, Stephen?
So the easiest way, well, first off, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on My Town, Your Town, Mr. Jim Strong Show. So I want to say that's an honor, and I appreciate it, because you don't have to call me, you don't have to bring me on. And coming from being an on-air personality with a radio station, I know that I don't have to call an artist and say, come on my show. So I want to first off tell you thank you, and I appreciate
you. My pleasure.
Now, to get in contact with me, Stephen T. Music, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, guys. Again, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, not a V. S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Stephen T as in Thomas, and then music. StephenTMusic.com, Stephen T. Music on Instagram, Stephen T. Music on Facebook. You find me there, Stephen Thomas Stevo. It'll say it on Facebook as well. Find me there. I'll be there. Reach out, hit me up. I do run my own social media, so I will talk to you. I get a lot of people to ask me, do I run that? So
am I going to?
I will talk to you.
Are people
right?
going to see this segment maybe on some of your social sites?
Man, I would love to.
Are you going
to
make me semi-famous for being on your radio?
I mean, you already big time, Jim. I mean, doggone it, Jim.
Don't laugh at me.
Jim,
don't
I'm trying to. I'm coming to you on your show. What you mean?
Come on, man.
Jim.
You're the man, Stephen Thomas. There he is, everybody. There he is, right there. Thank you, brother.
Hey, you
what a great
man.
Segment. As promised at the top of the show, when I return, we're going to be talking with Molly. Molly is the co-producer, I do believe, of a documentary called King Cole. I don't know a lot about it, but I can't wait to learn about it with you, my audience. Thank you for tuning in to my town, your town. When I return in just a few minutes, I'll be joined by Molly, and I will be right back.
Auto Accident Help Desk is a marketing agency connecting callers with attorneys. Providers pay a fee for advertising services.
I love getting my kids ready and driving them to school.
But a careless driver can change your life in an instant. And insurance companies want to settle on the cheap. Auto Accident Help Desk connects victims with powerful lawyers. They fight for you.
I called Auto Accident Help Desk and got help for my pain and suffering.
Don't let an insurance company take advantage of you. Our attorneys fight and beat big insurance every day.
Call 800-674-9189. 800-674-9189.
If you've been injured in an automobile accident in the last 6 months, you owe it to yourself to make this free call with no obligation. We're available 24/7 to help you get the money you deserve for your pain and suffering. Auto Accident Help Desk helps accident victims like you every day.
Call 800-674-9189. 800-674-9189. 800-674-9189.
Meals from those years are hard to forget. It was all white bread and whole milk, hamburger casseroles and quiche Lorraines, all with a side of cigarettes. We ate salads as desserts. We knew a party was classy if it had a cheese log, and we never missed an after-dinner smoke. It didn't matter if we were in our dining rooms, a burger joint, or the ritziest of restaurants. There'd be an ashtray on every table. And that very particular flavor in every meal. We smoked for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's amazing that our food could taste like anything else. If that was you then, get your lungs screened now. Surviving lung cancer starts with a scan. Learn more at screenyourlungs.org. This PSA was made possible by industry funding and guidance from lung cancer patient groups.
Welcome back to My Town, Your Town on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1410.
And we do welcome you back in. It is the 10th edition of My Town, Your Town, a radio program that is all about good. We know there's lots of bad out there. We know there's lots of negative. We know there's lots of divisiveness. We know about that, but we're not focusing on that. We don't feature that on this show. We feature the good stuff, the good people moving our state and our community, your town, my town, our town, your town forward in a positive way. And that's what we'd like to talk about and feature on My Town, Your Town. I am humbled to serve as your host of the show, and I am Jim Strong. What a great segment with my boy, Stephen Thomas. Now, as promised at the top of the show, I said we're going to have, I called you the co-producer, is that correct?
That's right.
The co-producer of a documentary called King Cole. And you are Molly Bourne?
That's me.
Molly, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Before we talk about King Cole, let's talk to the audience and kind of set the table on who you are. Are you a West Virginian? What's your journey, Molly?
I am. Yeah. I grew up in Fairmont, the Fairmont area.
Marion County,
Marion
I love
County,
it.
That's right. I live in Charleston now. I have been a journalist for a number of years.
A journalist, okay.
I worked in public radio in 2018 and found my way into documentary producing.
So did you work for our West Virginia Public Broadcasting?
I did.
Okay.
In 2018, I lived down in the Southern Coalfields, was living in Mingo County.
Okay. You were living?
I lived in Williamson.
You lived amongst the people in Southern West Virginia.
I did, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah. They're soulful folks. I mean, we are West Virginians. So you're a West Virginian.
I am, so yes. I'm a boomeranger, right? I left and came back, so... Yeah.
And, you know, from North Central and spent some time in Southern West Virginia, now residing in Charleston. But when you were in Southern West Virginia and you were a journalist, is that how this started, so the King Cole,
mm-hmm.
when did that become, hey, let's do something? What's the evolution of King Cole?
Sure. So I met Elaine McMillian Sheldon in 2019. She's our director. She's also West Virginia born. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. And you might know Elaine and her husband from the film Heroin that was about women working in the opioid and recovery space. And I met Elaine in 2019, and we both were interested in these expressions of coal-related culture, right?
And
we filmed some of those things, which I'll tell you more about. But this all started back in 2019, so it's been a lot of years.
Three or four years in the making.
That's right.
Did you get slowed down in 2020 a little bit?
We sure did.
Yeah,
it actually changed the direction of the film a little bit.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Everything. I talk a lot about adaptability. It's one of the three key features of emotional intelligence. And some people who didn't adapt in 2020 or working on projects or working or having an organization or a business, or some people didn't make it. They didn't adapt. So did you guys adapt and went a different direction with this documentary?
Yes, we started filming these observational scenes. So we filmed a coal shoveling contest. We filmed a coal-themed beauty pageant. We were really interested in this identity around coal and what happens as our relationships to coal change. And so this began as an observational documentary. So we're just, you know, we're watching things unfold. And then during COVID, we kind of went into what I joke is our research and development phase, right? So many film teams couldn't work. And we got to really thinking, what direction might this film take beyond the direction we were going in? And we played with form a little bit. And Elaine herself is a coal miner's daughter. I'm a coal miner's granddaughter. And the film is narrated by Elaine and has a lot of elements of Elaine's family in it as well. Her grandfather is actually in the film.
So it's a documentary. Is it about, is it 60 minutes or what, or give or take?
No, I think it's going to be a totally different experience you might think.
Give us, what is King Coal?
Sure. So King Coal is a film about Appalachia's past, present, and future. And I know that you're like, well, that sounds like a lot, but the film mixes these observational coal scenes that I described, and I can tell you more about those, with these more imaginative scenes with two girls from this area that we cast to be in the film to sort of carry this idea of imagination and as we think about the future, potentially beyond coal. But this is not an environmental film or a political film in the sense that, you know, you might think of as those types of like a 60 minutes type documentary. Mm-hmm. It's incorporates multiple forms. And I think that anyone with a West Virginia connection or even without one will find something they might see themselves in this film.
In doing what little research I did to have you on, Molly, which, full disclosure, was not a lot. I was just really leafing through my Facebook events,
mm-hmm.
and I saw King Cole, and I saw a documentary. And I go, oh, I'm intrigued. I'm looking at my notes here. I don't know when that is. When are people coming to watch this?
Yeah, so
and where?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
So we have our West Virginia premiere on July 8th at the Culture Center.
I thought it was getting close. That's why
it
you're
is.
Here, right?
That's
but
why
I didn't
I'm
have
here.
My day. So July the 8th.
Yes.
And where's it going to be?
At the Culture Center Theater.
On the campus of our state capitol.
That's right.
In our cultural center.
That's
in
right.
That theater. Seats about 250, 300 maybe.
330-ish.
330.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We hope to sell it out, right?
We're moving right along.
And
so
people can get tickets. They're only $20, right?
That's right.
$20 for the ticket. Need to get them, and they can get them where?
So we are partnering with the West Virginia International Film Festival
okay.
to put this on. They're a
nice.
Wonderful nonprofit
yeah.
that brings all
oh, they're
types
a great
of
group.
Film.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wonderful
great.
Group. So we're partnering with them, and I should note that we're doing a screening, and we also will have food and music, and we really want this to be our big bash, bringing this home to where it all began. And if you go to the Facebook page of the West Virginia International Film Festival, you can find everything you need to buy tickets there. And there are so many West Virginians, individuals, and so many places in West Virginia and our region were featured in this film. So you might see some familiar faces.
I certainly look forward to being there.
Yeah.
So July the 8th,
yes.
Is it a evening event?
Yes.
It's 7-ish, 6-ish? What time do you know? 6 or 7? So it'll be on the Facebook page of the Western Union International Film Festival.
Yes.
You may go to Facebook and just search King Cole. That's where I found it.
Right.
So July the 8th, and you're calling that the West Virginia premiere?
That's right. And we premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in January with this film, which was a really big deal for our team. And so we took the film out to Utah, and we've been at about 20 film festivals across the U.S.
How is it being received? What's the feedback thus far?
I think really well, and I think that... you know, it's a film that is different from the type of documentary that many people have seen before.
So what, you keep saying that. So
yeah.
When I think of a documentary, I don't know, somebody narrates it, there's clips from the past, there's interviews from today, and there's some raw footage from the past, and they weave it all together, the tapestry comes out in the end, and it's like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
How are you describing this? What is it, why is it different than what I perceive as a documentary?
Sure. So we do have those observational scenes, right? What I mean by that is there was a coal educator that we filmed who was telling kids in the classroom about what he did when he was in the mines. Okay. We filmed that. We just let it unfold right in front of us. But in order to think about the future, we wanted to cast these two girls that we found, these two dancers, right? We found them at dance studios, one in Hurricane, one in Charleston. And we wanted, this film has so much movement in it, and thinking about moving into the future, we wanted to bring them in to have that conversation. And so this is maybe the most direct example. We went to the West Virginia Coal Festival in Madison in Boone County, which is a really wonderful event that includes a memorial.
That was recent, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Coal Festival?
Or they did this? I think it's happening right now, or maybe earlier.
So it's going on.
Yes, okay. And we filmed the one, we filmed a couple of years of the Coal Festival.
I see, okay.
So we were there, and we brought the girls to the Coal Festival, and we just let them kind of do their thing, right? Like, we would bring them into scenes we were going to film, and so this was not scripted, but we said, hey, let's come down to this event and be kids, right? There was a carnival after the event. We filmed them going through. And, you know, talking about the future is really hard when we're thinking about a future beyond coal and what that might look like. And kids are such a wonderful way to talk about the future.
How old are these two girls?
Yeah, when we started filming, they were 11.
I keep forgetting this is a 4-year project.
Yeah, it is. So they're, you know,
14, 15.
Yeah, well, they're not that old yet, but they're preteens, and and they're wonderful. They're going to be at our premiere as well. And so we have those observational scenes mixed with these scenes. Another one is, you know, a coal like social studies project where they designed one of those trifold boards, you know, you see at a social studies fair.
Right.
And we gave them a prompt that would have been like a real life prompt that you might see at one of those festivals, you know. And it was really cool because we, you know, could help them tell the story. But again, that is playing with form a little bit because it isn't your traditional sit back and watch every single scene unfold.
Is there a trailer somewhere? Can we get a snippet of what this is going to be like anywhere? Or we just have to come to the Cultural Center on July the 8th, spend $20, which is very affordable, and have probably a little reception, meet the girls, meet you guys, and then watch it. Is there anywhere we can watch a little trailer or snippet of this?
We don't have the trailer up yet, but you can go to kingcolefilm.com.
Kingcolefilm.com.
That's right.
Kingcolefilm.com. Of course, that's a website, www.kingcolefilm.com. And you might be able to learn a little bit more about the documentary and maybe see a snippet or two.
We have some images there. I think you'll get a sense of what this film is like. Good. I can tell you about
if I would have done my homework, I would have already been there.
That's okay.
But I just came in and said, Molly's here. Molly's going to tell me what the show is all about. So that's what you're doing.
You'll see some scenes you recognize. We filmed it at Cass Railroad.
Been on that railroad.
Yeah, we filmed in Cranberry Glades. Mon National
Beautiful.
Forest. We filmed also in southwestern Pennsylvania, eastern Kentucky, southwest Virginia. So there's a lot of landmarks in this film.
When you put these, I do know a little bit about film, not a lot, enough to make me dangerous. I know it takes a lot of effort and talented people and equipment, and that costs money. Did you get a grant from anybody? Is the film, what do you call it, the West Virginia International Film Festival, do they help you find money? Do you have a grant? Do you have corporations? Do you have businesses How was this thing funded, Molly?
It's a great question. We got our first grant in 2019 from the West Virginia Humanities Council. They have a grant for media.
Eric, my boy.
Yeah.
Eric Wagoner, right? Still the director.
Yes,
Eric
that's
still
right.
Worked it. Yeah, very
yeah.
good.
So we got a grant from them. We applied for several others through the years. That was part of the process in the beginning was finding money. We wanted to pay people to and hire the right people for this.
A fair rate.
And yes, and our you know, we wanted to pay everyone what they were worth, and this was there. We were so grateful to have all that support along the way to make that possible.
And then ticket sales will help a little bit. I mean, it's very affordable, $20 to come and see this featured documentary. I see a couple other little notes here that I actually copied and pasted from the Facebook page. And one that I noted was Esquire's most anticipated documentaries of 2023.
Yes.
I asked you earlier, you know, how it's being received. Are you getting some of those kind of, I don't know if you know, documentaries to watch for, anticipated awards are coming to this documentary? Are you getting anything? Have you been awarded yet? Or are you on a watch list anywhere to like get some awards?
We've won several jury awards, including one for
our
cinematography. So Curran Sheldon is our cinematographer and one of the best out there.
Yeah.
I mean, his work is extraordinary on this film. And we were so happy to have that honor because it is just such a strikingly mm-hmm. beautiful film. But yes, we have been getting some other accolades. And also, I think people are just very curious about this new form, or this form they're not familiar with, I should say, where something different.
I'm so intrigued by the whole form. I don't know if I still, it's not a perceived regular, whatever standard documentary is. It's not that.
One thing we do have in this film are beautiful archival material. So I know you mentioned archives earlier.
Yeah.
We do have some really cool archival material from West Virginia.
I love archives. I love the history.
Yeah.
I love the images. I love some of the raw black and white footage that we might have from different things. I'm sure you've got images and you interviewed some folks, but did you go down to a live operating coal mine for this documentary?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
We didn't, but Elaine, for a project she worked on 10 years ago, filmed in a mine in McDowell County, and we used that footage in this film, and it was a bit of a late addition. It's funny because I can't imagine the film without it, and it you know, there's a continuous miner going, and the sound, which isn't, this film's sound design is really a wonderful experience, and that underground sound and the imagery that we see down there is just so powerful. And we did go into the Beckley Exhibition Coal Mine.
I've been
for
there.
This. Yep.
Yeah.
And there's
did
also,
they turn the lights off for you?
they kind of let us do what we, you know, they let us down there. And
I have been in that exhibition mine.
Yeah.
And at one point they say, okay, we're going to show you what the mine looked like.
Oh, during the ride, yeah.
When early settlers or early miners, what they actually saw.
Yeah.
And they turn the lights off and you cannot see your hand 1 inch from your eyes. It is pocket. When you say pitch black, people don't know what pitch black is. That's pitch black. You can't see anything.
Right.
It is dark down there.
Yes.
And I got to tell you this other story. In 1999, I did leadership Charleston, and we went to Boone County, close to Madison where you were. And I went into a live operating mine with coal miners.
Oh, wow.
I went down a mile and a half with all the gear on. I was mining coal. I was down there for 90 minutes. 9 minutes in, I was ready to come out. An hour and a half later, I was really ready to come out. But it was, what a learning experience. I'm glad I did it. I come up out of there, and I blow my nose, and black stuff comes out my nose. I was down there for 90 minutes, and my first thought was, guys that do this for 30 years, 6 days a week, for 12 hours at a time, without coming up, oh my gosh, how did you do that? I know you made good money. I would have never done that. Thank you for doing that. Coal is a huge industry, a rich history in our state, but man, is that hard work. And I know the future of coal is, we don't know where the future of coal is right now. And I'm sure this documentary tells a little bit of that, but wow.
You capture that complexity, though, right? Like,
yes.
This is I hope that this film does that, too, and that this is something that powered our nation. Again, like, Elaine being a coal miner's daughter, coal's been in her family. Her brother's a fourth-generation miner. My grandpa was a coal miner. This has given us so much to think about, but we also, you know, when we do explore this in the film, just the this complicated relationship and how to sort of negotiate that. And then the identity, again, that we have around this thing. I mean, there are so many celebrations in these coal towns all across the state. And, you know, what happens to those?
So the documentary is featuring and highlighting and celebrating our rich history in the coal mine industry, and, you know, talking about now. And there's probably some things in there, I'm surmising, about what it's going to look like, you know, 5 and 10, 15, 20 years from now.
That's a conversation we want to invite people to have. You know, that's okay. One reason when we're having this event okay. afterward, we want people to stick around and hang out and talk about that. And, you know, some people have asked us that.
Will there be anything formal like that? Like, let's rehash this and led by somebody. Or is there going to be a Q&A?
Will be a Q&A.
That's pretty good, right?
This film has so many West Virginians made this film possible. So not only will Elaine and Curran and myself and other crew be there, but also the two girls we cast, and we want to invite that conversation.
So much like I'm asking you questions, you'll see the documentary, and it'll lead to questions, and you guys are going to try to answer them afterwards with a Q&A, kind of an educational thing.
I'm sure a lot of people will ask about, like, how did you get this shot? You know, things like that, which we'll be happy to answer.
Right.
And also, you know, thinking about the future and what that might look like and what we want our future to be, I think are questions that we alone can't answer. We have to invite the community in to answer them, and we hope that the film will get that discussion going. That's why we made it, was to get people thinking about, you know, what might this future look like, and how do we honor the past while also looking forward?
Folks, you know, the older I get, and folks that listen to me regularly or hear me speak regularly, you know, I keep track of my days. Today, I'm saying it for the first time, but I'm 22,906 days old today. And the older I get, the more I like to watch West Virginia public television. I like to watch documentaries. I like to watch news shows and things from our rich past and our rich tradition and our long history. And, you know, West Virginia just turning 160 years old this week. I love that. I love to learn about. And it is. I keep saying the word rich, but we have such a rich history, and coal is certainly right there. So I actually cannot wait to watch this. Molly,
forward to seeing you there.
Molly Bourne is our guest, and she is the co-host of King Coal. You can learn more about the documentary at kingcoalfilm.com, and it's part of the West Virginia International Film Festival. We're going to make our West Virginia. They've already had this thing out in the Midwest and Utah and some different film festivals, but we're going to make our West Virginia debut on July the 8th that evening. Take a look at the Facebook page or the website for the exact time. It's probably going to be 6 or 7 o'clock. It's going to be in the theater on the campus of the West Virginia State Capitol Complex in the West Virginia Cultural Center, a wonderful place, and a wonderful place for a reception pre and post, and a Q&A after the documentary is shown. There's room for about 300 or so, maybe 330-ish. So get your tickets. They're only $20. Go to the website or go to the West Virginia International Film Festival site and find some information there about how you can get a ticket. If folks show up, Molly, I don't have a ticket. I'm sure they're not sold out. Can I get one there? Or no, they have to have a ticket.
Well, they have to have a ticket.
Right.
So we hope that people will get them in advance.
And get them in advance. That answered my question. Get them in advance, folks. Get your tickets in advance.
I think it'll be a really special event. And this is our, like I said, this is our big celebration bringing this film home. And so many people here made it possible. And we're really excited. And I'm grateful.
I love it. Molly Bourne. Molly is the co-producer of King Coal. We've had a wonderful conversation. I think I have asked everything that I know to ask. Is there a parting shot? Is there something that I didn't ask you, Molly, that you need to let this audience know? And if not, just give us a final thought and why folks should come out on July the 8th and check out this film.
Well, like I said earlier, you know, I think we're thinking about the future, and we didn't want this film to be just about the past. So I really hope people come and think imaginatively and keep an open mind. This will be different than a film that you've seen before, but that's good. That's exciting. And I'm really glad we can bring it back here and celebrate with everyone.
I wish you nothing but the best of luck with this. I look forward to July the 8th. I hope you do as well. Audience, one more time, kingcolefilm.com, kingcolefilm.com, July the 8th at the West Virginia Cultural Center, the West Virginia premiere of King Cole. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And there she is, Molly Bourne, as promised at the top of the show, a very insightful conversation. I love this radio segment with her. As we always do, we talk to good people doing good work and bringing good things to our state and our community and your town. So we have about 10 minutes left in the radio program. I'm going to take a short break, and when I come back, I'm going to be talking about some events that are going on this weekend that may be of interest to you in my town, your town, and I shall be right back.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for calling Consolidated Credit Counseling Services. Can I help you?
I sure hope so. I'm in debt.
Is it credit card bills?
Yes, I have 2 credit cards that I'm making minimum payments on and another that I'm behind on. I owe about $5,000.
What interest rates are you paying?
Between 18 and 22%.
At that rate, it'll take over 20 years to pay off.
Wow. 20 years?
What Consolidated Credit can do is work with your creditors to lower your payments and reduce or even eliminate your interest charges. You should be able to pay everything off in 3 or 4 years.
What do I have to do?
Just give me some details and get ready to celebrate your freedom from debt.
We're Consolidated Credit. We're here to give you freedom from debt.
Call now for your free consultation.
If I had known it was this easy, I would have called years ago.
Call 1-800-530-5341. 1-800-530-5341. That's 1-800-530-5341.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunlight Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company, licensed by New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031.
Welcome back to My Town, Your Town on News Talk 102.3 and AM 1410.
And we do welcome you back in. The hour is clipping by very, very fast. What a wonderful show we have had. Stephen Thomas got things rolling earlier. A songwriter, a musician, a businessman. He does it all. It was great having him on, learning about what his life is all about and his future. And also, we just said goodbye to Molly Bourne. Molly is the co-producer of King Cole, a documentary that will be making its West Virginia debut on July the 8th at the Cultural Center on the campus of the West Virginia State Capitol Complex. So we have about 5 minutes left in this edition, this episode of My Town, Your Town. This is our 10th edition. Wow, we've done this show 10 times now. I can't even get over it. Hey, if you're listening, we appreciate you. We hope you like what you're hearing. Of course, we're bringing you all the good stuff, whether you're listening on WSCWAM.com or 1410 AM or 102.3 FM, or maybe you have your News Talk app downloaded and listening to us on the app. We certainly appreciate you. Just a couple of things here I jotted down when I was going through my Facebook events calendar. I saw a couple of things that might be of interest to you. I can't wait to have her on one of these days, Mayor Kay Summers from Clendenin. Tomorrow in Clendenin on June the 24th, the Clendenin Festival will be happening. They'll have a 5K race and a 1 mile race. It'll start at 9 a.m. right there in Town Hall in Clendenin. Before we get to Clendenin tomorrow, we mentioned it a little bit, but we hope you come down to Haddad Riverfront Park tonight. It is season 19, week number 5 of the Moses Otter Group live on the levee. We have a little bit of a lineup change. I probably need to let you know. This just broke late last night. Early this morning, folks are finding out. Solis was scheduled to be our headliner tonight at 7:45. Solis has been traveling and touring the nation. A very strong, powerful voice. Really an up-and-coming musical artist. She came down with a little bronchitis yesterday, and she is still in New York City treating that. There is a post on the Live on Levy Facebook page. A thank you and an apology from her. She just says there's just no way she can travel. There's no way she can sing. She says, I promise to get to Charleston, West Virginia one day. But in her place tonight, we have so many talented and so many gifted musicians and groups just right here in the West Virginia Kanawha Valley and throughout our towns of Charleston and South Charleston and Taze Valley and all points in between. We have secured back. They played in 2019. We welcome them back to the Show 'Em Bomb stage tonight at 7:45. The Velvet Brothers will be making another appearance at Haddad Riverfront Park for the Moses Otter Group Live on Levy at 6:30. We're going to get things rolling with the New Old Souls. The New Old Souls, they will be taking center stage at 6:30, and then the Velvet Brothers at 7:45. And then tomorrow, as I mentioned, June 24th, the Clendenin Festival is happening. As we head into the weekend on Sunday, don't forget about Mountain Stage over at the already mentioned Cultural Center. It's always a great time with Larry Gross and Kathy Matea and the gang right there. Also on June 24th, the Freedom Celebration with singers and instrumentalists from area churches. They're going to be doing a little festival, patriotic concert on Saturday, June the 24th, Calvary Baptist Church. We also, I'm looking down through here, looks like we have Saturday, tomorrow's June the 24th. I'm glad I saw this to get this out there. We've had Evan Osborne on our show before. He's our director at the Capital Market. Tomorrow at the Capital Market, their very first ever stakeout. That's right, stakeout, featuring ribeye steaks, fresh produce from the market, some local IPAs and beer, some local beer and wine. It's from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock tomorrow evening. It'll be outdoors, out where the flowers and produce is, so it'll be covered, so doesn't matter what the weather looks like. Join them for their first ever stakeout. The cost will be $90. You can go to capitalmarket.net, www.capitalmarket.net. Join Evan and the whole crew at Capital Market tomorrow evening, Saturday, June the 24th, for the Capital Market's first ever stakeout. Let me see what else I have here. You can always go, this is Friday, July the 7th. I'm going to go out until next month. Nitro Antique Car Club, I need to get them on to talk about this. They're sponsoring a cruise in starting at 5 o'clock. Free hot dogs, that's free as in F-R-E-E, free hot dogs will be provided to everyone attending. This is the Nitro Antique Car Club. It's just a cruise in, and it's July the 7th on a Friday evening. The town of Nitro doing a great job down there. I'm gonna end it with this. We got about a minute left. The annual Mountain State Art and Craft Festival, the Mountain State Art and Craft Festival in Cedar Lakes at the Conference Center, will happen next Friday, June the 30th through Sunday, July the 2nd. June the 30th through July the 2nd, the annual Mountain State Art and Craft Festival in Cedar Lakes. Always a great time. Some wonderful artisans up that way. I have presented up there before. I have been an exhibitor up there before. It is a great opportunity to come and check out our artists and our heritage and our Appalachian heritage. Good things always happening at the Mountain State Art and Craft Festival. With about 20 seconds left, I just want to say thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for tuning in the previous 9 episodes. Episode number 10 coming to a close. We certainly, certainly, certainly appreciate you listening. Special thanks to our guests, Stephen Thomas and Molly Bourne. I am Jim Strawn. And
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
1410 AM, WSCW, and W272DW, 102.3 FM, South Charleston, an LM communication station.